From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome, Bill Michaels Show on the air. Well, I got a lot for you today. Link Darner, UW Green Bay men's basketball coach, is going to join us coming up here in about a half an hour. Rich Gannon at the top of the next hour. Pat Baldwin, UW Milwaukee men's basketball head coach, going to be here. Eric Name, the Bucks reporter for The Athletic, is going to join us. So we'll get into that discussion. But we're talking Packers and starting out talking about the offense and some of the problems. If you get The Athletic, they did a terrific breakdown of some of this offense that has become so problematic, I guess. They start to review, and primarily on the offensive side of the ball, the frustration and angst that the Packers offense is having right now. They say with arguably the best quarterback in the game, the Packers are in a weekly struggle to have a balanced offense, move the chains, and convert in the red zone. Here's some of the league rankings. On third down conversion, they are 17th. Touchdown efficiency, they are 20th. Run-pass ratio, 31st. Second to last. Inside the 30, completion percentage. Aaron Rodgers, inside the 30, an opponent's 30-yard line completion percentage, he ranks dead last in the National Football League. And they say the struggles are a combination of issues. They go to the lab, as they say, to take a look at some of the problems. So one of the plays they specifically look at, rookie wide receiver Equanimeous St. Brown catches a 23-yard pass last week against the Rams on a crossing route off a play action. He used a savvy route running to separate from the cornerback Marcus Peters. Rodgers slightly behind on the throw, but St. Brown still able to haul it in. This past Sunday, the Packers ran the exact same play. It's a half boot with St. Brown running a crossing pattern. He again separated easily from the corner. Plenty of space to the sideline for Rodgers. However, Aaron Rodgers is late to see him. Just for whatever reason, isn't looking at him. And he ends up running out of room on the sideline and threw it away. Bill Belichick and his defense. They've been known to take away the opposing team's best weapons, okay? So the Packers may not have a real number one, but the Patriots extremely aggressive in double-teaming certain Packer wide receivers, particularly in the red zone. They use bracket coverage to take away Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb on big plays. Rodgers not able to get his eyes off of the covered options fast enough, and they went down as wasted plays. Aaron Rodgers was 3 of 8 passing in the red zone last week, going under 50% completions for the 6th time in 8 games, not looking over the defense fast enough, locking on a receiver. When the Patriots went to the single high safety look, he wasn't shy about letting it loose deep on the perimeter. Knowing that the safety can't help, Rodgers gave his receivers a chance to make plays, and they knew they had one-on-one coverage, and some may claim that these plays look predetermined, forced, and maybe an incredibly low percentage pass, but in the NFL, giving receivers opportunities to make plays is part of their job. Valdes-Scantling just misses on a pass on a slot fade, and Adams unable to climb vertically on Stephon Gilmore. On passes traveling 20-plus yards in the air, Rodgers, by the way, is only 16 of 40 right now on the season. That's 40%. And in part, it's because his guys haven't gone up and got it. Okay? But Jimmy Graham, the 6'7" former basketball player, not been playing like an opposing matchup. Too often he's getting chances to make contested catches in the red zone, an area that he's normally made a living off of, and he's only caught 3 of 7 this season in the red zone. The pass protection, the guys up front, they're not free of blame. All it takes is one player to get protection breakdowns. On a key third down, guard Byron Bell, as Bill Belichick alluded to, crushed the guards, oversteps, gives up a spin move in the A-gap. Rodgers has no choice but to drop his eyes and escape. All-pro left tackle David Bakhtiari gives up penetration in the red zone. Both Bakhtiari and Lane Taylor, they get bullied in the red zone, and Rodgers has no choice but to escape and throw it away. The third down decision-making, though, there's a fine line, And it's hard to question an all-pro quarterback. But as they say, they find themselves scratching their head more and more as they watch the Packers' offense, especially on critical third-down plays. On a third and four in the fourth quarter, the Patriots are showing a pre-snap cover zero look. No defenders beyond 5 yards. Rodgers has Adams split to the right with a rookie, the cornerback J.C. Jackson, lined up over him. On the backside, Cobb is in the slot with Valdes-Scantling lined up on the outside. On pre-snap, it's man-to-man. No safety help over the top. I mean, you should be salivating if you're a quarterback. The Packers are running a three ISO route, and they say, you know, hey, they would attack the rookie covering Adams. At the snap, the Patriots safeties bail out with Devin McCourty bracketing Randall Cobb, and Harmon drops into the seam curl on the other side. Rodgers sees Cobb doubled, and he doesn't even find another option. Scrambles around for seven plus seconds. And then throws it out. 7+ seconds. Locking on Randall Cobb, really not looking more downfield. Near the end of the first half, the Packers faced a third and one. Third and one. Now, this is what I talk about on third down. Okay? Jamal Williams in the backfield, running a zone read concept. Adrian Claiborne unblocked. Now, Claiborne, he doesn't really crash down on the running back, which basically leaves a big gap between him and left tackle David Bakhtiari. And it's an easy run for Williams. Aaron Rodgers pulls the ball out, keeps it himself, tries to outrun the defensive end of the perimeter, can't, ends up getting tackled for a 2-yard loss. These are the things that I'm talking about, that when he comes to the line of scrimmage, Aaron Rodgers has a run-pass option and wants the ball. And that's what you want. Great ones always want the ball. But when things are there, you got to take it. When certain things are there, you got to take it. And he sees it. He's not a stupid guy. So in the grand scheme of things, maybe Aaron Rodgers is trying to do too much. He's trying to be Superman when you don't need Superman right now. You just need you hate to say it because it's like a dirty word. But right now, you just need a game manager. Just move the sticks. Just move the sticks, get into a rhythm, let your guys start making plays. Remember the game against Chicago, it was quick outs that turned into big plays. You allowed Randall Cobb to make a big play. You allowed the athleticism of Devontae Adams and the speed to make a play. You allowed those guys yards after catch. They're not doing that anymore. They're trying to get it all through the air rather than run after the catch. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, they believe in better. They want to send you out to see the Badgers. Great tailgate party, customized jersey. Subs for a year, by the way, and a pair of tickets to go see the Minnesota Golden Gophers coming to Camp Randall. All you got to do is go to CousinSubs.com/Badgers. That's CousinSubs.com/Badgers and get yourself registered. Let's go to the phone calls. Give me your thoughts on this. Tony listening to us in Greendale. Tony, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hi, Bill. I've called a bunch of times. I called the other day, and I've said this again, and you said a lot of the things that I think it's like. I see Rodgers going back to pass. There's players that are like 7 yards out that are open. You can see it on TV. He doesn't do any of the check downs. And then when we got a first down and goal, I think it was on the 3, right at the beginning, that first drive of the game, I believe it was, if I'm thinking correctly, We went for 3 passes, and I think we got the touchdown on third down, barely, okay? Now, that to me, that's 100%. That's on him. And what is it telling the offensive line? What is it telling your running backs? Well, I don't have any confidence from you, even though you are averaging 6 or 5, 6, 7 yards per rush on this drive, whatever, and we're running it down their throat. You just ran 8 or 9 yards to get to the 3-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any confidence in you to punch it through.
Yeah.
Why don't they? This is 100%. That's on him. And everybody wants McCarthy's butt. Oh, we need a change. The message is all nonsense. I don't believe it. But who are they going to get? And what's wrong with the guy you got? You're going to have the same exact problems with a quarterback that thinks that he can do anything he wants. He's uncoachable. I mean, I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I want him on our team. But, you know, he needs to sit down and think and just look at what, like you just said it before, you took my call, is you got to take what's there.
Yeah.
What's wrong with going 5, 7 yards, 8 yards real quick ones right off the line, three-step drops, right down the damn field if you have to throw the ball.
It becomes very frustrating.
The ball down their throat.
Yeah, it becomes very frustrating.
I was so irritated right from the start of that game. When they pulled that crap, I thought, is this what this game's going to be about? And they sure, that's exactly what it was about. So they're 3-4-1 because they do have a lot of holes. But let me tell you something. He's a big part of where they are. Mm-hmm. And he gets up there and says, I got to play better. With him, when he says that, he means it. But what he's meaning, I got to throw the ball better. It's not like I got to make better decisions. And maybe I should run that ball down their throat when we got down there by running it down their throat.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree.
That's how I see it.
No,
so,
I get it.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Appreciate the phone call. The whole thing about who they're going to get, we don't know. I mean, there's a lot of names out there. I'll tell you one thing. I know that the name being kicked around a lot is Josh McDaniel. Do you really want Josh McDaniel? Seriously? Do you really? Is that where we're at? You want Josh McDaniel? He may have learned from his mistake. I don't know. But he was a train wreck when he was in Denver. I just don't know if I want Josh McDaniel being the next head coach just because he worked with Tom Brady. I don't know. I just don't know if I would want to see that. Let's go to a court listening to us in Whitewater.
I wanted to say this, too. Let's not forget about Josh McDaniels. Remember last offseason, he had agreed to become the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts and then decided at the very last second,
No,
I don't want to do this.
No.
And then he ended up going back to New England.
Right. I don't want to see him in Green Bay. It's just my opinion. Let's go to Court listening to us in Whitewater. Court, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Hey, Unit, thanks for taking my call. You kind of stole some of my thunder with all the stats and everything like that about the Aaron Rodgers situation. The couple things I'll say and I'll hang up and listen is that they're not on the same page, the coach and the quarterback. Where's the fun there? Even when they've been winning, Rodgers hasn't been, the guy on the sideline talking to everybody. He's still been kind of reclusive, sitting on the bench by himself. He's has a pretty much of a scowl look on his face most of the time. So there's just something not quite right. I don't know whose fault, but when I was watching football on Sundays, I told your screener there, Radio Joe, is the thing that upset me the most on Sunday wasn't even in the Packer Patriot game. It was when I was watching the Rams and the Saints play. It was a great game, but just to see how the Saints used Taysom Hill, a guy that we have, but Mike McCarthy doesn't even have the foresight, the creativeness, the innovation to think that I can use a guy like that in my system. And to watch what he does for them, and we could have had him here in Green Bay. I think his message is old. And as I say that, creating a little bit of more space on the offense, when's the last time Davante Adams has been in motion to give him some help to get open? Because the only time there are big plays, it seems like, is when Aaron scrambles or hangs on the ball too long, as we always say, then someone breaks free and he makes a big play. And I agree with what your last caller said and what you said. He's got to start taking what the defense has given him. There's nothing wrong with that quick offense. Take five, take six, take eight, boom. Next thing you know, you hit a slant. And like you said, you get the yards after the catch, which is there.
There's not a lot of trust right now. I appreciate the phone call. There's not a lot of trust right now in just getting the ball to the receiver and letting them do something with it. And that, we'll get back into this conversation. If you want to chime in, 855-830-8648. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Consistency. We're just, we're not hitting on all cylinders. We're hurting ourselves with negative yards plays and missed throws and turnovers at the wrong time and not being on the same page too many times. Whether I'm missing a throw or we're not in the spot I think we're going to be at, it's happening in the worst times. When we have to play our best in those crunch times, we haven't been playing our best.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. Those are the words of Aaron Rodgers. He did bring up missed throws. I mean, it's not like he's pushing it in a different direction and saying, "Hey, it's not me," because he is. I mean, he's taking credit for some of the woes of this team. There's no doubt about that. Things just not right now. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Want your thoughts want your thoughts about everything that I just read to you, some of the numbers, specifically in the red zone, deep inside opponents' territories where the offense continues to stall, some of the problems. I mean, again, you point at some of these things and you say, okay, when you start to analyze the film, the plays that are called, the guys are open. There's some things that have not been seen by the quarterback. So for as much as you want to point the finger at Mike McCarthy, and for all of you that go, oh, it's so predictable. Okay, they ran the same play. Both plays were open each week. One was successful to Equanimeous St. Brown. The other one, he was open again, and the quarterback just didn't hit him. That's not Mike McCarthy's fault. It's sacrilege to blame the quarterback in the state of Wisconsin over the last 20-something years. But it happens. The difference is that, and I've had this conversation before, specifically with Mike Clemens, our NFL insider, when you lost Alex Van Pelt. Alex Van Pelt was the guy that could go to Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, you're not playing well. You know, hey, knock it off. Let's do this. And Aaron respected him. I don't know what that relationship is right now up in Green Bay with his quarterback's coach. I don't know. But Alex Van Pelt was the guy that everybody's had a coach in their life, if you ever played sports, that kind of got the most out of you. And he could say anything to you and it was okay. I mean, he could rip you up one side and down the other, and it was okay because you knew where he was coming from. You know? He wasn't just being a jerk to be a jerk. Because he could talk to you that way, and he got the most out of you. Everybody's got that coach. Alex Van Pelt was kind of that coach to Aaron Rodgers. Why he's not here, I don't know entirely. But, I mean, he said he wanted to go off and pursue other opportunities, but he's not. So I don't know what the deal is. The bottom line, though, is that the quarterback is kind of on an island right now. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Regarding the Packers right now, Fletch says, I'll defer to the late, great John McKay. Regarding the Packers' play execution, he says, quote, I'm in favor of it. The question, do you think Rodgers wanted to prove that he was better than Brady in this particular game? There was a lot of hype, and he does have the ego to try and prove it by taking every RPO as a pass. Possibly. I don't think you do it at the detriment of your team, but if there's a question and there's a matchup you like, then chances are he's probably going for it. I don't know specifically, but, you know, as we sat there and, you know, with the film breakdown, when there were opportunities, when he had running plays that looked as if they were going to be successful, he pulled it in. Sean says it's almost impossible from a fan standpoint to say, but no one besides Mike and 12 know what play was called versus what was changed at the line. With that being said, we don't need to throw 20 yards downfield every effing play. Completely agree with that. Again, I go back to a conversation I had some years ago with Rodgers, and I've talked to linemen about this. He'll come to the line, he'll see a particular matchup. He'll go with that matchup. There are linemen that have said, hey, we don't even know. We're blocking, we're holding our block momentarily, and then we're getting ready to sprint downfield before we realize it's even a pass because they still believe a run has been called. You know, Aaron Rodgers has always had that opportunity to kind of get out of things. So I don't know to what level blame can be assessed. All I'm saying is that there's deeper problems than just as simply saying that, well, the play calling sucks. Yeah, there's enough to go around. You're talking about look, the offensive line is, you know, they're not road graders, man. They got away from that during the Ted Thompson regime. David Bakhtiari's solid. Corey Linsley is solid at times. He's above average. The rest? You've got an aging Brian Bulaga, and Lane Taylor's good. I don't know if he's great, but he's good. But you've got a guard position right now that needs to be filled, and you need to solidify that thing. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Bob listening to us in La Crosse. Bob, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, thank you. I just had a couple of observations from, I hate to say it, but a Bears fan.
Okay.
I've been following the rivalry since 1963, and it's best in sports. But my belief is that Rodgers' game was very definitely more of when he could get outside the pocket and run and then pass. He was always very effective, always getting the touchdowns, always killing the Bears, all of that. And I think he's slowed down a little bit. Even though I know, even though he has had a knee brace on, I think he's slowed down a little bit in his run game. The Detroit game is a clear example where he was caught from behind twice and didn't know that he was being chased, and they fumbled twice. And I think losing Nelson, Jordy Nelson, was an emotional loss for him because I think they were pretty close, and I think that's a connection where Jordy's still proving he's still fairly darn good. And so I think there's a number of issues that play into this. I think the defense is slower at the linebacker positions for Green Bay, and they just aren't getting to the quarterback like they used to. But anyway, it's going to – we'll see what happens over the next 6 weeks or 8 weeks. But I think there might be a changing of the guard here pretty soon if it's not if Rodgers doesn't – Rodgers is going to have to be the hero because – he's been the hero before.
Well, he's going to have to just play better. I mean, I don't even know about, and appreciate the phone call, Bob, because I don't even know about being the hero, just being Aaron Rodgers, because he's not Aaron Rodgers right now. Maybe that's the best way to put it. He's just not, you know, I said before, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Aaron because he's been Superman. That's where the bar is. So you expect Superman, and when he doesn't play like Superman, there's all kinds of problems. Look, the numbers he's putting up right now are mind-boggling. He'll end up with 30-plus touchdowns, only a couple of interceptions, and 5,000 yards. Let that sink in, as Brian Billick said yesterday. And that, those are unbelievable statistics. But he's throwing over 40, 45 times a game. You can't survive doing that. I mean, you can, I guess, if you're in a run-and-shoot, but you can't keep that pace up. So, I don't think they want that. Aaron may, but I don't think they want that overall, because if that's your offense, you're in trouble. You know, and you've got a run game that has been good, but yet for whatever reason, it's just viewed as the bastard stepchild that nobody wants. So, maybe they get back to it. I don't know. Maybe, you know, against a lesser team like Miami or Seattle or whatever, maybe they just get back to it and you run the ball a little bit more. But, you know, it's conversion inside the red zone. When you're in the red zone and you can run the football, it changes everything. And it seems like the minute they get in the red zone, it's all about Aaron throwing to the end zone. And I don't know why. 855-830-8648. Real quick, let's do this. We got Link Darner, UW Green Bay men's basketball coach. We're going to talk with him coming up. We'll get back into this discussion. Hang in there. Ty and Philly, Mike and Whitewater, and a whole cast of thousands on hold. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. After every Packers game, there's only one place to be. The Fans' Bill Michaels and former Packer Gary Ellerson take your calls after every game. Why you wanna
tell me how to live my life? Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show on the air. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Reminding you, tomorrow night, the Huddle back out on the road. Going to be over at Bullwinkle's in Brookfield, right there on Blue Mountain Road. Come on by and say hi. 6 to 8 tomorrow night. Chuck Friedman from Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Our flagship station out of Milwaukee going to be our guest tomorrow night. The Bud Light Street Team is going to be there. It's all brought to you by Bud Light. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. Speaking of fun, when you put up 110 in your opener, unless your opponent scores 111, that's a fun night at the ballpark. I don't care what's going on. Head coach of UW-Wisconsin Green Bay, Link Darner, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Link, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you?
We're doing well. 110, did you see that coming?
No, I didn't see that coming, but we did a good job executing what we want to do. We got a lot of turnovers that led to some easy buckets, which was good for us because we didn't do much of that last year.
You pick up a couple of junior college transfers in Charles Cooper, Jamar Hurdle. You've obviously got the juniors, the forward Shaquan Hempel and Josh McNair and company. And it seems like you've got a pretty good depth of talent. It seems like there's a lot of things that, as far as being able to shoot the basketball, that can happen for this team. So give me your thoughts on this squad coming into the 2018-2019 season.
Well, I think we're a lot different than our team from last year, where we didn't have the athleticism or the speed to maybe get up and play the way we wanted to. I think we have that this year. Time will tell on how good we'll be at trapping and rotating and different things like that. But, you know, we went out, we returned a lot of guys that played a lot of minutes, and then we went out and we got, four transfers from the JUCO ranks that we thought could come in and play the style that we wanted to play. And then, of course, Cody sat out last year, and we thought he would be a big addition. I know he didn't shoot the ball well yesterday, but that was a good day not to shoot the ball well, because we're going to need him to shoot the ball well Friday on Columbia State. But we're excited. I think it's an exciting time. I think we can be a very entertaining team at times this year. You know, we played a very good Michigan Tech in an exhibition game, and they actually had us down 14 at one time. And our pressure and our steals, you know, really helped in the second half, and we ended up winning that game by 20. So I think we're a team that can make a lot of runs. Where last year at times we really struggled to score the basketball if Khalil or Sandy couldn't make shots for us.
What does it mean to have guys that have a little more experience, a little more age, a little more knowledge on your team?
Well, I think it's a big thing. I think it's always good in college basketball, unless you're at Duke or Kentucky, you know, where you're going to count on all freshmen to play. I mean, we don't have that luxury. Last year, we had to count on a lot of freshmen to play and play major minutes. And now, hopefully, they're a year older. They understand our system better. But that's one reason why we went out and got four transfers, is we thought we needed some guys that could come in and play a significant role this year for us.
How come a goofy early start time yesterday?
It was for kids' day. We tried to get some school kids to come to the game, and they had some, different school projects for them to do while they were here. And, we had a decent turnout. It was our first year of trying it. That's why we played the 11:30 game, because if we played it at 6 o'clock, we wouldn't have been able to get the school to bring the kids. So it was a good experiment, maybe something that we can continue to do each year.
Give me the thoughts on the conference itself.
Well, I think it's going to be, the top three teams, and everybody's poll has been Northern Kentucky, UIC, and Wright State. And then kind of the rest of us, we all lost key players. They returned just about, majority of their team. And then everybody else in the league lost either their best player or significant players. So it's kind of it's interesting to see the follow games last night. Teams are playing to see who's playing, what new guys are playing for them. But I think the league will be very good this year. I think the top three teams are by far probably the three best teams. And then, probably the rest of us, the other seven teams, we're fighting it out potentially for fourth or eighth place, and hopefully we could get good enough that maybe we could get up into the top three. But, the top three, those teams all return a majority of their team.
You've got Indiana State coming up, and for those that don't remember, that was Larry Bird's deal. So they have the Sycamores on your schedule. Kind of nice to see that that Indiana State logo there. You got them at the Crest Center. They're next up for you guys. So, first of all, talk about the challenge they're going to present.
Well, last year they handed it to us pretty well at their place. It was a tie game at halftime, and then they put us on in the second half. So hopefully we'll be ready for them. They got a very good point guard. That's first team all league. We're going to run into about three or four games here in a row where the other team's point guard is going to be a key part. What can we do to try to take him out of the game? We're just watching film as I'm talking to you. I'm trying to figure out how we can take him maybe out of the game. But they got a couple big boys inside that are 6'8". You probably haven't followed us any, but defensive rebounding has been a big weakness for us. Michigan Tech killed us on the offensive glass. Are we going to be able to keep their two big 6'8 guys off the glass? And can we wear them down with our pressure? We can play up to 12 guys, and, they're probably going to look to play 8 or 9 guys. Can our pressure wear them down, and can we keep them from going on any big runs like they did last year? It'll be a good challenge for us. It's a great game. It's a 3:30 game. So we're playing another afternoon game, a kind of businessman special, a little Bud Light happy hour. So hopefully we can get a lot of people to take the afternoon off work and come out and watch us play here at the Crest Center.
Hey, something you had mentioned, though, when you talk about the glass and wearing teams down, the other thing that you had brought up last night, if I read correctly in the post game, was about your speed. I mean, the other thing that you want to do is get up and down the floor. This is not a team that's going to grind it out and play the glass. This is a team that wants to get up and down the floor, correct?
Yeah, we want to get up and down, and we've tried to convince our guys. They put that circle around the basket for charges.
Mm-hmm.
Our guys think that's where all five guys have to stand for when a shot goes up for a defensive rebound. You know, I've been a little sarcastic there, but that's where we run on every shot. And against Michigan Tech, every time we were at the first half, we were taking the ball out of bounds every possession. Well, it's a lot harder to score when the other team scores. Well, the second half, we did a better job. We got them to miss shots. We started rebounding it, and then our speed came into play. Our speed doesn't really come into play on a made shot. Our speed's going to come into play if we can get teams to turn it over, if we can get stops where we can run out and beat teams down the floor. I do like our team's speed. You know, we have some guys that can really go. Sandy's as fast as anybody I probably coach with the ball, and Carrington Love was really fast with the ball. And when Sandy gets it and he's pushing it, he's as fast as anybody I've coached with the ball and can get from one to the other in about three dribbles. Well, it's better if we can rebound the ball at 10 feet than instead of rebounding the ball, taking it out of the net. And that's been one of our big emphases this year. And, you know, we got to do a better job with that because I think if we do that, we can score a lot more at the other end.
Well, you guys get to the tournament this year. You guys will certainly have earned it. You've got a game against the Big Ten and Iowa. You've got one against number 14 Oregon that's upcoming. You got number 10 Michigan State on the docket, and that's all before you finally get into the Horizon League. And you know, you're not shy about scheduling some of these tougher teams, are you?
Well, not this year. I guess we're not. It'll be a great challenge. We're actually going out to Washington. We're going to be gone for 8 days. You know, that'll be a challenge. You know, go out there and play two games, and we play Oregon on the back end of the trip, but. You know, we're going out and playing some very good opponents, and we have some very good ones coming here. Indiana State, Northern Illinois, and Belmont are all coming here to play, and we go to Bowling Green, and we go to Indiana State, probably by far the toughest schedule that we've put together since I've been here, and hopefully, you know, we can meet the challenge and find a way to win a few of these games.
Coach, we wish you nothing but the best of luck. We'll talk more down the road, I'm sure, but, man, great schedule. I look forward to watching you guys and paying attention all season long. Go get them, okay?
All right, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. Link Darner, UW Green Bay men's basketball coach, joining us for a couple of minutes. And, man, they put it on them last night. 110 they dropped on them last evening on Wisconsin Lutheran. And they, like he said, they got up and down the floor. They went on a 20-something nothing run at one point in that ball game, and they were just getting it done up and down the floor. Like he said, they were rebounding the basketball a little bit better, but that's one of the areas of weakness that they have to correct. Otherwise, they're going to run teams out of the gym. As long as they're hitting shots, they'll run teams out of the gym. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, want to remind you that through the weekend at all Wisconsin Quick Trip stores, you can buy some of this and get yourself some cash back. Listen up, Johnsonville Brats or the better with Cheddar Brats. You can get yourself some brew. You can also get yourself some Quickery Buns. And you can earn yourself rewards off of the rewards card for 40 cents off per gallon of fuel. I'm not kidding. All you have to do is stop into your local Wisconsin Quick Trip stores and get your card. Or just simply go to quicktrip.com and you can get entered for the rewards program there as well. I use that thing every day. Every day, just about. And it has paid dividends. So, again, you can go with the Johnsonville Brats or the better with Cheddars. Some of the brew that is out there at some of the stores, and also our friends at Quick Trip, they have their own bakery, the Quickery Buns. You can get those as well and earn yourself up to 40 cents off per gallon. But you got to get registered via the rewards to get the perks. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. He is going to be inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame. And I know some of you just roll your eyes. Slow your roll. I'll tell you why. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Hey, I want to remind you that regardless, hopefully they're going to join us there, down in Atlanta, the Green Bay Packers. But if they're not down there for the big game, we will be. We'll be live from Radio Row again this year. Compliments of a lot of great friends that send us there each and every year. Got to say thanks to our friends at Brumar Productions. I've been telling you, if you live in the Eau Claire area, the Pablo Center at the Confluence, Jim Curry presents the music of John Denver coming up this weekend. Tickets are on sale right now. The opener, Ryan McIntyre, and I know Ryan really well. He's the guy that did our wedding reception, as a matter of fact. He is just fantastic. He's worth the price of admission. But Jim Curry, Man, if you grew up as a John Denver fan, that is a night for you. It's going on at the Pablo Center. Go to pablocenter.org, P-A-B-L-O, pablocenter.org for all the information. That's coming up this weekend. Make sure you go to the pablocenter.org. Also, our great buddy JR and the whole staff at Pizza Del Rey in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Go over there after the concert. Stop in at Pizza Del Rey, maybe even before the concert, and get yourself some of the pizza buffet. They do a great job. And if you don't see something you want on the buffet, they'll even make it for you. Also, our buddy Brett and the whole staff at Robert Hack Diamonds. They made Sherry's wedding ring, and everywhere we go, everybody's got to look at it, new and eye over it, and they do just an incredible job. Two locations, and they pay the most cash for your gold with Christmas and such right around the corner, man. Stop in if you got something going on. They pay the most cash for your gold and get you some of that Christmas spending money as well. But that's Brett and the staff at Robert Hack Diamonds. Ted Thompson is going into the Packers Hall of Fame. And I know there's some that say, well, look what he did in the latter portion of his career, and he left the cupboard bare. And
I have sizzle.
Yeah, he did. He doesn't now, but he did.
Well, that's just rude.
Ted Thompson deserves to be there. You know, I mean, come on.
Sure.
Ted Thompson deserves to go into the Packers Hall of Fame.
Sure.
There's no doubt.
Sure.
Why do some people not want him there? I don't know.
I'm not smart enough to tell you what it is. It's machine stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, the guy rebuilt the Packers. You know? I mean, come on. The guy rebuilt the Packers. The Packers were a team that was in turmoil when he got here, and he took it to the next level. Got the players, went on from there. So why would you not want him in? That I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just a country bumpkin.
There you go. But Ted Thompson going into the Packers Hall of Fame. He should. I don't know why some people have a problem with it. He should be there. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it. 855-830-8648. This one's from Mark, who said, Ted Thompson should go into the Packers Hall of Shame the way he left this team after they ended up unceremoniously removing him from his duties. He stayed too long. He was too arrogant. No way for what he's done to this franchise. But didn't he also bring it back and give Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers what they needed? Didn't he bring in a guy like Charles Woodson, the Defensive Player of the Year? Didn't he draft Clay Matthews? Didn't he draft Aaron Rodgers when nobody wanted another quarterback in Green Bay? Everybody wanted more and more and more weapons for Brett Favre. Didn't he do all of that? You know, I mean, right? Shouldn't he be there? I mean, I think so. I really do. I don't understand why there's such an angst towards Ted Thompson. You know, Ron Wolf, he restored the luster to Titletown. Now, granted, Ron Wolf had less to work with. He had to come in and let go of Lindy and Fonny and kind of rebuild things. But Ted Thompson came in. He had Brett Favre already, but he drafted the next Brett Favre, a better version, so to speak. You know? I don't see why not. I don't see why you wouldn't put him there. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Mike in Whitewater. Mike, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Hey, Billy.
What's happening? Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Congrats, my friend.
Appreciate it, pal.
I texted you. You probably got it. Unless you change your number.
No, I think I did. I got it buried, but I think it's still there. As a matter of fact, I think you're on my list to get back to.
No big deal. I may see you Sunday. But anyways, he's got to go in. He carried on for Wolf. He did draft people we needed, drafted people that got us to the Super Bowl. But I got a question about Aaron Rodgers to finish up your last episode. Tell me if I'm wrong. We got too many voices there now. Where you just had Clements and McCarthy, now you got the replacement for...
Got to let you go, Mike. Can't drop one on here. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. I'm looking at Mark Tauscher was elected, rightfully so. Ryan Longwell was elected, rightfully so. Mark Lee, the cornerback. was elected. Donald Driver belongs there. Russ Winnie was a radio announcer. He is there. Nick Collins, he was on his way to a Hall of Fame career before he went down. Chad Clifton played tackle and anchored that offensive line for a long time. Ken Rutgers played for a long time. Amon Green got there. Solid running back. Chris Jackie's there. Kabir Bajabiamila was leading the National Football League at one point in sacks. Mike Holmgren belongs there. Marco Rivera's there. He was anchoring that line. William Henderson, Marv Fleming, he's there. Greg Cook, Mark Chimura, Dorsey Levins. I mean, I'm reading some of these names, and they're good names. They're names we all know. But Ted should be there. Ted should be there. I don't have any ill will against Ted for what he's, you know, what he did for the franchise.
It's shooting shotgun with pellets.
There you go. That says it all. Stay tuned. Rich Gannon, former quarterback, CBS Sports NFL analyst, going to be joining us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.